Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you. What a week, what a week, what a week. Oh, my goodness sakes. Kind of just pinching myself on the things that happened. This program, I don't know what the title is going to be. Probably something like the best speech I may ever hear in my lifetime. I'm serious. It was that good, which we are going to cover in detail as it relates to some things that nobody else is saying or picking up. I think there's some valid insights here that I feel like God's given me. You can be the judge. But this is a little bit different. Typically, when there's a State of the Union speech, which this was essentially, that's what it was. Not called that. It's just a joint address to Congress, but it was essentially a State of the Union. I seldom watch them. I always pull up, print, and read in detail the transcript. But this one I had to watch because I wanted to see what was going to go on in the chamber. I'm glad I watched it. I pulled up the transcript, which I thought I would work from today. But the transcript is 54 pages long. And it's not particularly large print. I mean, Trump talked for an hour and 40 minutes, an all-time record. He beat Bill Clinton by 11 minutes. But I have some selected excerpts we're going to cover, and it's going to be a fun program to do. I hope you appreciate it. But I want to start with just a couple of things. That's the end of the good news. I'm just jumping to a few things which blows me away that the Democrats can be as lost as they are. This is a bunch of petulant little brats they were in that chamber. And then with the little paddles. It's sophomoric. It really is. But to show that they just fundamentally cannot change. And I'm going to get to why that's the case later in the program. But you have the fact that just before this speech, the Democrats, the Democrats, that's the appropriate term, they blocked a bill that would prevent males from participating in female sports, all blocked by the Democrats. I think they are satanically inspired. I was watching this video on WorldNet Daily. I don't know her name. And it was refreshing. It was, and I point out that she was black only because it supports, gives us some context about, she said, don't assume, or something like that. Don't ever assume that I'm black, that I'm a Democrat. And I think that was a reference to her race, because that's what a lot of people have assumed, because in the past that's been true. Not so true anymore. So don't you ever call me that. And she went on this tirade calling the Democrats gremlins, and in the video called them demon-possessed. I haven't heard anybody call them demon-possessed besides myself. So, I stuff is happening. I mean, how many of you, as you watched it, and I watched the whole darn thing, now, I'm not on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast, so out west anyway. So it's a little easier for me to take in essentially a two-hour program, an hour 40 plus 20 minutes of commentary. On the East Coast, it's a little tougher. But how many of you that saw the whole thing, you can only answer this if you saw the whole thing, really truly thought and realized you were watching an historic speech? Absolutely historic. Probably the best speech I have ever heard or ever will hear in my lifetime. And I'm going to tell you more why later. But But the Dems just don't change. I mean, Trump asked the question, why can't you cheer for any of the good things they do? That's because they're evil. I mean, the Democrats hate women so much they voted to keep men in women's sports. The Democrats who call themselves, for women's rights, well, they're not. They hate women's rights because the women, real women, are protesting men in their sports. They are the most, they're the most misogynistic party that's ever been. You got to hate women to have a whole bunch of girls and older females, women, suffer at the hands of men faking it to be women. How can you get more sexist, more misogynistic than the Democrats? One more, and then I'm going to get on to deeper into the speech itself here. But Colorado has a bill, it's proposed, that is going to make it an offense to dead name somebody. Dead naming is calling someone by their real name when they've chosen another name as part of their agenda for transgenderism. So you call them a name that to them is dead. That's why it's called dead naming. Forget free speech, forget the First Amendment in Colorado, which is in a race with California, who gets to hell first. Unbelievable. Well, anyway, I've had enough of that. I don't want to do any more of that. That's you get the feel that some things don't change absent the grace of God. There is nothing but salvation and maybe a Damascus Road experience for these Democrats to change. And you might say, well, isn't that true of everybody? No, it actually isn't. I know a lot of people who are not Christians, but they do have a measure of common sense, and they are generally speaking on the right side of most civil and political issues. You know them. I know them. They're out there. You don't have to be an emissary from hell before you get saved. Do you? No. I mean, I was not a Christian, and yet I have never in my life supported abortion, even when I was distinctly not saved. I mean, there are other things I supported that were hellish, but I didn't support that one. I just knew in my knower, I knew that it's a child in the womb, and who gets to decide when it gets to live or not? Pro-choice? Of course not. Why? Because the child, the one getting killed, has no choice. Nothing could be more anti-choice than abortion, because the one getting killed is the one who has no choice. Well, okay. Moving on to the speech. This was, and I just have to say, like I think I've kind of given a tip off here. This is in my opinion, the best speech in my life, probably that I will ever hear. And I can't say that because Trump is so eloquent. You know, we quote some of the founding fathers on extremely good and eloquent speeches. The question is, how impactful are those speeches? And they need to be measured by their content, not by the glossary. I mean, Trump does not use any big words. Not at all. That's why he's a blue-collar billionaire. He just speaks to the common man. There's not a word that he used, I don't think, in an hour and just under 40 minutes that wasn't a word that everyone would know the meaning. He's not up there trying to sound real erudite by changing the pronunciation of words. I mean, it was divisive, and then Barack stands up and says, this is very divisive. Well, and whatever. You know what? I don't want to talk about him. But this speech, and I'm going to go through, it was masterful. And I'm going to just start with a couple of general comments here in no particular order. And I'm going to start with, of all people, Nancy Pelosi. And you say, well, why would you say that? Well, because I want to say the best to last, which means you have the worst at the first. So the speech, I almost felt sorry for her. Almost. The key word here is almost. I really didn't. But it's an 1 hour and 40 minute speech, and she spends 1 hour and 39 minutes adjusting her teeth and slobbering. And at one point, she has a cane up to her mouth. I saw one reader said, what is she doing with that cane? It looks like she's drinking scotch from her cane because it's right up to her mouth. And every time they showed her, her tongue's moving around as she's trying. I mean, goodness gracious, woman, get the teeth fixed. You got a Cadillac health plan. You've been in Congress forever. You've been sucking out of a government trough for decades. You guys get everything. You got the best health care. We got stuck with Obamacare. You got your own plan. Get them fixed. One party, I thought it was actually pretty intriguing. Trump should have given her the mic and just said, Nancy, you got 30 seconds, and why don't you tell everybody about what some of the hot stock tips that you have that your husband participates in with insider trading because of the position you hold in government. And then just take the mic right back away from her. Okay. Next comment is from my wife. I've got to give her credit for this. She said, watch at the end of this thing, and knowing that the media, I mean, we turned to CNN and MSNBC for a few minutes afterwards, and they were pathetic. Oh, my gosh, are they pathetic. They cannot handle this. They can't get their arms around it. I just, this apoplectic responses that they have. But my wife said, you know, in the world of cartoons, if you were to describe what's going on here, Donald Trump is the roadrunner, and the Democrats and the media are the coyotes. The coyote. Coyote can't catch him. He cannot keep up with them. Trump is too sly. He's too dexterous. He's too fast. He's too smart. He's exhausting the left because they can't figure out which lie to focus on, meaning not of Trump's, but which lie they want to tell. They don't have enough time. They are so flustered and beside themselves. And I think it's a great observation. And as one of our listeners wrote to me and said that, you know, the way that the Democrats acted, to say that they were childish would be an insult to children. That's great. That is a great description. Even to call them petulant teenagers is giving them too much credit. Okay, moving along. Point number three. The best lines from this speech. The best line was right after the thank yous at the beginning. Trump just said, America is back. That's best line, not the best, but one of the great lines. And the place went wild. And that's when Al Green, mumbling and jumbling and yelling and gesturing with his cane, just went off the deep end. And I'm glad that they, and as he got talking louder, then all the Republicans started chanting USA, USA, and drown him out until the Sergeant of Arms ushered his sorry butt out of there. That was number one of the great ones. And the second one was, this was the best of all. And I said this at the end of his speech, said to my wife, this was the best line of all when Trump is talking about the you and looking at the Democrats. He said, you kept saying we needed legislation to do this. We can do it, but we need the legislation first. And he said, then all you really needed was, and then he paused beautifully, was a new president. And my goodness, I jumped out of my chair. I did. I couldn't sit down at that line. I jumped. I mean, I would have thought my favorite team had just scored a winning touchdown or something, but the enthusiasm exceeded that. Wow. And number three, it was really not a line. It was more a paragraph, which I was so glad that he said this. It just needed to be taken right to them. When he said, and I'm going to quote, I pulled this up. These are two of the 54 pages of the speech, or part of two pages, where he said, and I quote, "This is my fifth such speech to Congress. And once again, I look at the Democrats in front of me and I realize there is absolutely nothing I can say to make them happy or to make them stand or smile or applaud. There's nothing I could do. I could find a cure to the most devastating disease, a disease that would wipe out entire nations, or announce the answers to the greatest economy in history, or the stoppage of crime to the lowest levels ever recorded. And these people sitting right here," as he's pointing to them, "will not clap, they will not stand, and certainly will not cheer for these astronomical achievements. They won't do it no matter what. Five times, I've been up here. It's very sad, and it shouldn't be this way. So Democrats sitting before me for just this one night, why not join us in celebrating so many incredible wins for America? For the good of our nation, let's work together, and let's truly make America great again." End quote. Now, he could have ended the speech with that, except he was only 10 minutes into it. He still had an hour and a half to go. But it's absolutely true. And I actually referenced this just a week ago, that he could show up with a McDonald's whatever meal and a bag of popcorn, and they would throw it on the floor in disgust or something. I don't even know exactly what I said, but there's nothing he can do. Absolutely nothing. What you saw from the position of the podium over on the right side is an aggregate compilation of derangement syndrome victims, Trump derangement syndrome victims. They're gone. They are absolutely gone, and the only way they can get gone ultimately is for voters to turn them out. The fact that out of everybody in Congress, in the House of Representatives, it comes down to most votes are coming down to 217 to 215, 218 to 214. The fact that Satan is that close to actually having a majority opinion in the House, the fact that Kamala Harris got almost 48% of the vote, should be very concerning. And I have to believe that because of the closeness yet breakdown and the breakdown of the American electorate, though that may be changing as a result of this speech, which I'll cover a little bit later, but at this point in time, we are close to a living hell with whoever would replace Trump if they're from the left. That they can't get it, won't get it, don't want to get it, only means that when they have power, they are going to take it to the righteous people of this country. And the only hope is that enough people wake up that that can't happen. But it also explains why Trump is moving fast and furious. He doesn't have a second term. This is it. We don't know who will be succeeding him, probably Vance, but who knows? And he's a good man. He's a great man. He'd probably be the best successor we could have. I put him above my previous favorite, who was Ramaswamy, but that was before Vance was even part of the equation. And he has won me over big time. But I don't know what's going to happen. And Trump, knowing that he's got a very short time within which to work, he has got to move it. Now, he's a CEO. These guys don't dink around implementing things. A good CEO, once they know what needs to be done, they move. They move quickly. This is why we need a CEO-type personality as president, as opposed to a community organizer or somebody who's had their head in the government pig trough for almost 50 years, like Joey No Brains Biden. I love the fact that Trump referred to him as the most stupid president in the history of the United States. Now, what do you think Joey thinks about that? Joey doesn't think anything because he's just somewhere sleeping. It may be in the beach, not this time of year, maybe in his den. He's just snoozing off the rest of his life and good riddance. Nobody's trying to interview him. Nobody's asking him his opinion on anything. Because he still probably doesn't know the difference between his wife and his sister, as he did in, what, two speeches, I think? Or, well, one, I think. But anyway, that was one of the three highlights, or many of them, one of the three of the top highlights, let me put it that way, of the speech. And so when you look at the Democrats' behavior here, yeah, they're petulant. Yeah, they're whiners. As one person said, they're groveling gremlins. And they've always been gutless, they're brainless, and they've been bereft of morals. But I need to add something to these people. They are also soulless. They really are. They're heartless. And what did they not stand for? What did they not clap for? Let me just give you a bit of a list, and I'm going to give some credit here to WorldNet Daily, because they went through all 54 pages of the speech and pulled them all out. So I thank them, immensely. The Democrats could not stand. They couldn't clap. They were united. There was unanimity in remaining silent. There was unanimity in not clapping for anything. Well, except that brief reference to aid to Ukraine. But then Trump went on to explain, you know, that was wasted. But so what are they united about? What do they remain silent about? They couldn't endorse, support, or rejoice in Americans joining the military in record numbers. They can't rejoice, support, or applaud having law and order. You couldn't get them clapping about taking down illegal revenge porn. They didn't clap or support anything as it related to protecting women's sports from the so-called feminist side of the aisle. They don't support the United States of America. They had no desire to work together to make America great again. They couldn't support ending the electric vehicle mandate, where Biden just tries to stuff the EV crap down our throat. They certainly don't applaud ending censorship. They didn't applaud bringing back free speech. I just got to stop here. Do you realize how fundamentally undemocrat the Democrats are. To call them the Democrat Party is actually a misnomer. That's why I call them Democrats, because of they're against everything that's righteous, good, and healthy, wholesome, and constitutional in this country. Why anybody would ever vote for this pile of garbage that they propose shows the gross moral deficit of a huge number of Americans, or the gross apathy and or gross ignorance. I'm going to vote Democrat because my grandpa voted Democrat. Well, you know what? Did your grandpa vote and support abortion? Did your grandpa support trannyism? Did your grandpa support sodomy and transitioning kids apart from their parents' permission in public schools? No. When somebody says that to me, that's what I say back to him. I says, here's what you don't even know. If your grandpa was alive today, he'd be a hardcore Republican, because he wouldn't support this garbage that you apparently support. Well, they couldn't support, cheer, clap, stand for ending discriminatory diversity, equity, and inclusion. They can't comprehend the idea of having only two sexes. As I've said before, you know, God made us male and female. There are only two genders, and all the other genders have been invented by Democrats, i.e. Satan. Who would try to put upon this country the belief that you can have, what are they up to, like 37 different genders? It's, you know, and I used to say LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ back at a time when it was just LGB. There wasn't even a T. But I extended it right through the end of the alphabet, which turns out to have been prophetic, because every year or two, they add two or three more horrific, despicable, ungodly appellations, if you will, to that description of all the contorted and perverted behaviors that they consider normal and should be recognized and honored. Who would come up with that idea, other than the devil? They wouldn't and couldn't cheer about the idea of reducing inflation. They couldn't clap, stand, or do anything about the energizing, if you will, of American energy and becoming independent. They want us to be, the Dems want us to be totally dependent and locked in with Europe and all the other places that couldn't give a rat's rear end about God and righteousness. They want to be yoked with the dark side. They couldn't be the least bit concerned that they would stand or clap or cheer or applaud about ending waste, about ending fraud, about ending the abuse in government, ending taxes on tips. And I got to stop there for a second, because Trump came out with ending taxes on tips. That was his idea. Kami No Brains Harris, who had no ideas of her own except other than, I can't think what I should say now, so I'm going to laugh like a crazed hyena. She didn't have any original ideas, so she just stole that from Trump. But that the Democrats then push that as part of her platform. Well, if the Democrats, the ones sitting there, push that as part of her platform, even though everybody knows that she stole it from Trump, why wouldn't Trump, when he said ending on taxes on tips, why wouldn't the left stand and cheer that, even if they wanted to believe this falsehood that it was actually Harris's idea and it was really a Democrat idea? Wouldn't they cheer on the result, the decision to do something that supposedly, although incorrectly, aligns with their own talking points from the campaign? No, of course not. When you have Trump derangement syndrome, you can't agree with Trump on anything. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Well, I think my dog's a Democrat. And it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. But there's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact my dog might be a Democrat.
Okay, you know, I played that song, two or three weeks ago. And I have about 20 songs I work with on this bumper music, and I play about 8 or 9 of them, far more than the others. But how could I not play that song today after the spectacle that we saw on the Democrat side of the aisle in this joint address to Congress, or address to a joint session of Congress? So we're going through the list of topics where the Democrats are all unanimous. They all remained silent. They couldn't clap. They couldn't stand. And if you just join, I'm going to make this really fast about Americans joining the military in record numbers. They couldn't clap for law and order, taking down illegal revenge porn, protecting women's sports, United States of America, making America great again, ending the electric vehicle mandate, cutting regulations to unleash American prosperity, ending censorship, bringing back free speech, ending the discriminatory diversity, equity, and inclusion, the Democrats being the ones who are always talking about discrimination. But what they support is the most discriminatory policy we've ever had, DEI. They can't recognize only two sexes. They don't want to defeat inflation. They're unconcerned about unleashing American energy. They don't want to end waste. They don't want to end fraud. They don't want to end abuse in government, because Trump was saying those things. They couldn't stand, clap, or do anything for those things. And where we left off in the break was about ending taxes on tips, which their Kamala Harris stole from Trump, ending taxes on overtime and senior Social Security. How many seniors listening to this speech, looking at those Democrats sitting on their fat tushes and not standing up and applauding maybe the tax on Social Security? I draw Social Security. I'm that age. I get some now. And I pay tax on it. Even though I did not get a deduction for paying it, I get taxed on pulling it out. What if you put $10,000 in the bank and you decide, you know what, I think I'm going to use it for something else. But when you go, you pull the $10,000 out of the bank and now you have to pay a tax on your withdrawal. It was never supposed to be taxable. You didn't get a deduction like you do with an IRA. You put money in an IRA and then take it out. You get taxed. You get a deduction going in. That's Social Security today. How many seniors listening to this are looking at all of them? They're just sitting on their duffs, on their derrieres with their stupid little crappy paddles, opposing this with some stupid little... They didn't have enough paddles for all the things. They only had faults and protect veterans and Musk steals. They didn't have enough paddles to deal with about the 57 things that Trump brought up. But how do the seniors look at those that they have probably been voting for as old age Democrats, looking at them that they're the ones that still want to tax their money that they didn't get a deduction for when they paid it in? The Democrats couldn't stand the thought of bringing manufacturing back to America. Of course, that starts with Barack Hussein Obama. I remember the speech very well where he said how those jobs that have left, forget them. They're gone. They aren't coming back. What a jackass Obama was and is. How right Trump is. They couldn't share securing historic investments in American chip manufacturing. They couldn't cheer the concept and support the idea of removing illegal alien killers, rapists, and drug dealers from our streets. They couldn't cheer and support the idea of securing our border. They didn't support declaring the Tren de Aragua gang as a foreign terrorist organization. They couldn't support the idea of waging war on the cartels that are trafficking deadly drugs in our country and fentanyl, which has killed more young people than anything else. Forget guns. It's fentanyl that's killing our kids, not guns. They couldn't support punishing cop killers with a death penalty. They couldn't support promoting health and wellness among Americans. They couldn't support protecting our kids from radical gender ideology and all that woke crap. They can't support ending sexual mutilation of America's youth. They couldn't even support the return of the American Mark Fogel, which Trump got done in no time, where Joe Biden dinked around on his butt and didn't do anything forever. They certainly didn't applaud Trump's comment about declaring America's youth that they are perfect as God has made them. They don't need tranny this and tranny that. They didn't support ending wokeness in the military. They couldn't support or clap his comment about restoring American shipbuilding. They couldn't clap and stand for the young kid who got accepted to West Point. They couldn't clap and support and stand about the idea of improving America's defenses. They could not even support the idea of peace in Ukraine because all they want to do is spend more billions and keep their stupid war machine going. They want war. They love war. They're all about death. Democrats are a death cult. As one person wrote, quote, "The American people are seeing with their own eyes that the Democrats simply cannot applaud anything that is obviously good if Trump is for it." You know, I said somewhat facetiously about a year ago on this program, I have an idea how we could end abortion in America, truly end it. And that was to have Trump come out for it. Disingenuous, obviously. But if he came out for it, they don't know what to think until they find out what Trump thinks. They don't know what to do until they find out what Trump does so that they can just simply oppose it. So come out for abortion. All of a sudden, all these lefty hacks known as Democrats, would they come out and say, oh my gosh, we got to support life because Trump is for abortion. Like I said, there's a bit facetious and disingenuous, but the concept still stands. So another one writes here, so the Florida Democrat frowns and refuses, I'm not sure which Democrat they're talking about from Florida, frowns and refuses to stand for a kid who survived brain cancer. What a disgrace that the Democrats hate Trump so much that they'll even treat kids with disdain. Which of sorts brings me back to that reader's comment that, you know, calling them childish is really is an insult to children. So, like I said, they've always been gutless, brainless, bereft of morals, but they are soulless, they're heartless. And when we get to the issue of the cancer patient who survived it, who I think is 12, 13 years old, DJ Daniels, probably the most talked about event in this speech, and I will tell you, tons of people watch this. More people watch this than watch a typical State of the Union. And why? Because they're getting to know Trump. They're going to say Trump is not going to hold any punches. He's going to fire away. He's going to come out like an AR-15, but he was reserved enough under the environment and because of the audience. He said what absolutely needed to be said, but he wasn't calling them names. But the fact that the Democrats, so you've got this cancer survivor, he wants to be the cop, and Then they make him an honorary member of the Secret Service. His kid's eyes are so big. He cannot believe what he's hearing. His dad holds him up, shows him the Secret Service, honorary Secret Service card that Sean, I can't think of his last name, who is now the head of the Secret Service, had come out and given him. The Democrats can't applaud a cancer survivor. So what do they say afterwards? They say, well, with all the cuts that Trump is making to healthcare research by firing people, I hope that this kid can stay cancer-free, because if he doesn't, then Trump is going to be responsible for the kid's death. You know what? MSNBC, I can't think of the lady who said, why don't you just go stick your head in the toilet and keep it there? It's just nonsense. The Democrat conscience does not exist. The Bible talks about a conscience being so seared, there's no coming back. And for some of them, that would be true. I mean, I pray that there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but they can't handle. Here's what they cannot handle. This is the most talked about, the most shown segment of this speech. Because you have DJ, who's a young black boy, who in a very uncontrived, spontaneous act of gratitude by this small black boy hugging in gratitude this white male adult for being made an honorary member of the Secret Service. The left went bananas. To say this is so contrived, none of it was contrived. That's why the fact that it wasn't is why it was so beautiful. Yeah, did dad know there was going to be something going on here and make sure he had his kid there? Yeah. But is the hug of a small black boy and an adult white male, you see why this is so big? Because the left only has contrived compassion. They have no real compassion. What they show for political purposes. It's fake. They are all about division. They're all about things dividing black from white, from brown, from yellow. It's what the devil does. Divide and conquer. They cannot handle. They cannot handle something within the races that reveals unity, that reveals goodness and getting along. The ones that are preoccupied with race are the left, not the right. And that scene was emblematic, representative, a graphic representation of the goodness that exists between the races when they have a fundamental agreement on things that should unify all people, for which the Democrats could not participate, and because they could not participate because they lack that unity. Well, they have unity on evil. They have unity on demonic ideas. But now I want to get to what I thought was what distinguished, among other things, this speech more than any speech I have ever heard or read about. And that's a lot of years, folks. Why this was masterful, why it was brilliant organization, orchestration, choreography, whatever you want to call it. Because a lot of stuff had to be planned. But then there were those spontaneous moments like by DJ Daniels and Sean, what's his name, from the Secret Service. They are priceless because they are real. As I said, Trump is not eloquent. He doesn't speak with eloquent words. He doesn't use words that is trying to show a certain level of intelligence. He doesn't use the big words. He never has. He used words that there shouldn't be anybody that couldn't understand what he was saying, because he talks to the common man. Like I said, he's a blue-collar billionaire. But I want to tell you what's typical of a traditional State of the Union address. The president will highlight something or some things that he has done that's supposedly great or good. And then to show off how great or good they are, they will identify somebody in the crowd who is a recipient of that program or whatever it is that have had some measure of success. So in other words, the typical State of the Union will highlight the success of the individual as a result of the highlighting the success, self-highlighting, if you will, by the president himself. And that's true of both parties. That president will highlight his achievements by showing what he has caused in the achieving and the success of a particular person out in the crowd. Every time, all the time. That's typical. But this is where Trump, in his brilliance, reversed it. And I just haven't heard anybody say this. I don't know why. It seems sort of obvious to me. Trump reversed the process. Yes, he touted things that he's done. But he would masterfully communicate what he has done, not by showing the success of an individual who's benefited by it. He touts the success by displaying the victims of the gross and abysmal failures of Democrats. He brought out the ones, other than the West Point graduate and a few others, he brought out the ones who've suffered, the ones who've had tragedies, the ones that have experienced the horrific and the unthinkable. And yeah, he's talking about what he's doing about it, but he's not talking about the success of individuals as a result of his success. He's talking about the success of what he's doing as a result of the victimhood that he showed, that was on display as a result of Democrat failures. This was brilliant by showing the what's happened to those being honored were victims as a result of the failed policies of the previous administration. Whether it was Lake and Riley, whether it was the Nungary, the 13-year-old girl was killed by illegals in Texas, whether it was the girl who was injured by a tranny male volleyball, whether it was a mother whose daughter was secretly being transitioned, so to speak, by a cabal of demonically inspired teachers and an administrator in some school. He brought forth the victims to honor the victims in the context of the failed, demonic, and abysmal policies of the previous administration, and looking right at the Democrats as he talked about it. You see, he made his case not by showing success stories, but essentially showing the victims as heroes that had no desire to ever be a hero, but they showed up for this, and they had certain things, you know, a park named after them and so forth to honor them. This was masterful. And do you think that the Democrats could applaud any of the things that Trump has talked about here as far as the park down by Houston being named after Nungary, the 13-year-old girl who was killed by an illegal, and a couple of other things that were named? No, they couldn't applaud dealing with the problem that they created. They couldn't applaud they couldn't applaud the answer, the solution to that which they created. So the Dems were just, like I said, apoplectic. They're frustrated. Nancy Pelosi readjusts her teeth about 47 times. I mean, what I would have hoped was, honestly, what I kind of enjoyed was having to see her sneeze and blow her teeth right out of her mouth. And then show that. This is, what a horrible mindset that the people on the left only cheer that which is evil and cannot find it in themselves to applaud, stand, or support anything good or stand up on behalf of the victims of the things which they have supported. And now we have answers. Now, two quick things. I can fit in one, maybe not the second. The polls. All right, this speech, I'm not sure that there's ever been a State of the Union or one, because this was not technically that, but it was, every way, shape, or form, it was a State of the Union that had such a high approval rating. And CNN had to admit it. CBS put out the poll that they took, a very wide-ranging poll. CBS, that 76% of the people really liked or appreciated the speech that gave them hope and encouragement. Now, you're going to say, well, probably who's watching this speech? Mostly Republicans. This is a big surprise. This is a blowaway moment for me. 76% of the people supported and appreciated and thought it was a great speech. And for what he said, what he does, because he left no stone uncovered, unturned. He went after everything and pointed out on primetime TV what the mainstream media didn't have the guts or the morals to show or talk about. That is the truth of what the Democrats stand for. But 76% of the people appreciated, supported, liked this speech. A wide-ranging poll, only 51% of the people polled were Republicans. I mean, is this startling or what? There's a 25% spread between those who appreciated this poll, appreciated the speech and liked it, and those that were Republicans. A 25%, and they have to be made up of what? Independents and Democrats. And then they went on to cite in that poll the position that people had immediately before the speech and immediately after the speech. And the spike in support for Trump was phenomenal. And I can only hope that somehow this is sustainable to make sure the left doesn't take over in 2026, the House of Representatives or the Senate, or 2028, the presidency. They're short legs. I don't know how long this can possibly last, but goodness sakes, this was a mind-blowing turn of support by the people that were watching. That's huge. I just hope that it can last. And the last thing I want to comment is, to me, a relative comparison between Josiah and Donald Trump. I personally am at the point where whether he accomplishes half, two-thirds, one-third, 90% of the things he wants to do doesn't matter. His vision for America is the greatest vision I have ever read about currently or past presidents, presidential candidate speeches or president's State of the Unions. And that's why I think he's exceeded Ronald Reagan. I think he is the best president the United States has ever had and may ever have. Now, the comparison to Josiah, and I'm not making this on a spiritual level, but I just find it kind of interesting. Josiah was a king who was nominated, he came to be king at 8 years old. And it says at age 16, he began to seek the Lord. At age 16 and age 18, he began to purge Israel of its sins. Scripture calls him the best king Israel ever had. It's not David. Scripture makes it clear. Josiah was the best. It says there's never a king before him like it, nor after him like Josiah. From a matter of getting rid of evil, he was the best. And I find it interesting. He begins to seek the Lord at age 16, and at age 18, he begins the purge. So he's got a couple of years to assess the situation. Sort of like Trump having a couple of years between elections here to assess the situation. And what does he do? He comes back full bore with an intent to purge this country of its evils and its sins. And you ready for this? Josiah accomplished his task once he went about it, but once he set upon getting rid of all the sin in Israel, he did it in 1 year. Donald Trump, fast and furious, is trying to make it happen in 1 month or 2 months. Not quite. He's on his way. He's going to do in 1 year what Josiah did 1 year, thousands of years ago. Josiah, the very best king Israel had. And Donald Trump, the very best president the United States has ever had and may ever have. God bless you. Remember, sit tall in the saddle, America. You ride for the brand. And what brand is that? Everybody shout it out. The brand, brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next week.